This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 17th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look at an annual Mormon pageant and other activities in the old Mormon settlement of Nauvoo, Illinois. Also get a forecast from Mike Sola, first to look at today's news. Illinois' governor says he would veto any increase in sales or income tax if it arrives at his desk, but the Democratic governor is looking to raise other taxes in order to pay for his aggressive agenda. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Governor Rod Blagojevich says he won't go for increases in the sales or income tax because it's unfair to Illinois families. So he's looking to businesses to help offset the billions of dollars worth of new programs he's proposed. But according to Republican Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington, that would only serve to put people out of work, as it would chase companies out of Illinois.
The way to raise revenue in Illinois to do the things we want to do is to bring jobs back to Illinois citizens. That works in two positive ways, enhances their quality of life and reduces their need for government services.
Brady says what the governor's calling corporate loopholes are actually tax incentives intentionally voted into law by the legislature in order to bring or keep businesses in the state. The changes proposed by Blagojevich would include new corporate and transportation taxes, along with taxing the purchase of manufacturing equipment, farm machinery, fertilizer, and seed. A spokesman for the governor would only say that various options are on the table as legislators attempt to resolve a budget impasse that's led the General Assembly into a seventh week of overtime. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Not even presidential candidate Barack Obama can escape questions about the dispute in Springfield that has lawmakers and the governor unable to pass that budget. Obama says the problem appears to be everybody trying to take too big a bite this year. The governor wants to spend more on education and create a new program for health insurance. Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan and Republican leaders oppose that. The state's congressional delegation is warning Illinois risks losing federal transportation funds because of the budget impasse. Obama was marching yesterday with striking hotel workers in Chicago, and there he said his advice would be for the governor and legislative leaders to recognize that not everybody is going to get everything they want. Indiana House Speaker Patrick Bauer is suggesting his state spend its budget surplus to blunt steep increases in property taxes in many parts of the state this year. Indiana's auditor announced yesterday the state ended the fiscal year with a surplus of about $1.28 billion. But the auditor says little of that money will be available for spending at a time when many homeowners are clamoring for property tax relief. Bauer, who's a Democrat, suggests allowing homeowners in areas where big assessment mistakes were made to pay their taxes based on 2006 levels until the errors are corrected, and accelerating a so-called 2% circuit breaker set to go into effect statewide next year. Republican Governor Mitch Daniels says the surplus must be used to build the state's rainy day fund. Like the Champaign City Council last month, the Urbana City Council is taking sides in the mass transit dispute between the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District and a new MTD in Southwest Champaign. Urbana Council members last night voted to seek to intervene in support of the CU MTD against its upstart opponent. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Mayor Laurel Pressing says the city of Urbana opposes the new Champaign-Southwest MTD because Champaign-Urbana would be hurt by a fragmented transit system. She says the new transit district approved by Southwest Champaign voters last year should not be allowed to carve off a piece of the region and take it outside the CU MTD. Republican Alderwoman Heather Stevenson was the only council member who disagreed. She says Urbana should stay out of the dispute.
What I've heard from my constituents, and 85% of them, is this is not an Urbana issue and to please leave it alone. That's what I've heard from the constituents of mine in Ward 6.
Stevenson questioned how much the legal intervention would cost. But Assistant City Attorney Kurt Borman said the cost to the city would be negligible because the CUMTD is handling the actual litigation. He says all that Urbana and Champaign have to do to take a legal position in the case is file some papers and make a few court appearances. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A spokesperson for the family of tenor Jerry Hadley still says his death could come at any time following his removal yesterday from life support. The 55-year-old Illinois native is in a Poughkeepsie, New York hospital, suffering from a gunshot wound to the head that police say was self-inflicted. News reports said yesterday that Hadley had been struggling with depression and personal problems. University of Illinois vocal professor emeritus Ron Hedlund performed with Hadley in some of his early productions and kept in touch with him through his career. He says the news about Hadley is both shocking and confusing.
We always saw a very happy, a very much in control Jerry Hadley, you know. But obviously that he had some difficulties, but he certainly didn't show them, you know. I'm not sure who he confided in, but he certainly didn't confide in me. But he's always joking and laughing and just seemed like he was, you know, on top of the world.
Hedlund says Hadley brought a freshness and joy to the lyric tenor repertoire and was also an excellent vocal teacher who related easily with young people. Hadley received degrees from Bradley University and the U of I before launching his operatic career. He made frequent appearances at the Met and Chicago's Lyric Opera and was featured in several Grammy-winning recordings. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. For almost three decades, a pageant celebrating the life of Mormon church founder Joseph Smith was held every summer in Nauvoo, Illinois. In recent years, it's been replaced by one that displays the flourishes of a Broadway musical. But the new show is not the only attraction, Illinois Public Radio's Don Johnson reports.
Imagine a timber-framed outdoor stage with up to 150 people dancing on it, placed near a vineyard. That's the setting of what's now called the Nauvoo Pageant. The stage play is the major attraction, but it's just one part of the show. Organizers are also giving visitors a look at the brighter side of life in the 1840s, when the Latter-day Saints were building Nauvoo into the state's largest city and its only theocracy. They're doing this with what's called the pre-show. On a large flat area in front of the stage, they've recreated some of the events of a country fair of the time. Dancers swirl to folk music of a string band. Banners and pennants sway gently in a light breeze. A group of women is working on a quilt, some of them dressed in period clothing. Kathy Fulleman of Salt Lake City came out to Western Illinois to be in the pageant. She says quilting was a necessity in the 1840s. In addition, it provided a social outlet that never took away from the work at hand.
It's a way to share and to grow and to create something beautiful with our hands.
It doesn't take full attention away from conversation. There's a chance to do both.
Oh, absolutely not. Your fingers can fly as fast as your mouth can go.
This is Fulleman's second year as part of the pre-show. She found it rewarding enough to come back and plans to return for future performances for the camaraderie and the experiences. During the pre-show activities, children take turns pushing each other in a scaled-down handcart, like those used by some of the settlers who fled the town in the mid-1840s. There's a cross-cut log sawing contest. Two teams of kids try to be the first to saw through a 4-inch log. Artistic director David Warner says the fair is designed to broaden the appeal of the pageant and tell more about life during the period when the Saints were building Nauvoo.
To come and taste our pre-show, to meet people from literally all over the world, to tie a quilt with them, to saw logs with them, to dance with them, reminds us that we're really part of one great family.
As a further outreach effort, the church is taking selections from the pageant to nearby communities. Musicians and some cast members will also perform in Keokuk, Nauvoo, and Keosauqua. Some shows are Broadway-type presentations with songs from recent musicals. Others will be historical vignettes. In addition, the pageant supports local organizations by having volunteers run the concession stand. Scouts, 4-H members, food pantry volunteers, and others will staff the stand during the pageant and share the profits. Nauvoo Tourism Director Janine Dean says members of the community are beginning to support the pageant, even if they're not Mormons.
It's full of different organizations from all walks of life, and it helps all kinds of kids and activities and civic groups. And so the community really kind of pulls together for this month-long event.
As David Warner says, the outreach is a way to thank the community for the inconvenience of heavy traffic and big crowds. Nauvoo is a town of a little more than 1,000. The pageant is expected to draw 2 to 3 times that number of spectators each evening. To spread out that traffic, the pageant is extending its schedule. The City of Joseph ran for 8 consecutive nights. The Nauvoo pageant will continue Tuesday through Saturday nights until August 3rd. The pre-show fair begins at 7 p.m. About 8:30, pipers and drummers lead audience members to their seats. The pre-show is over. It's dusk. The lights go on, and the main show begins. I'm Don Johnson.
We saw quite a bit of rain in parts of Illinois this morning, and that's the reason why parts of Coles, Cumberland, Moultrie, and Shelby counties are under a flash flood warning until early this afternoon, and a flood watch is in effect until late tonight in Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston counties. Our forecast from Mike Sola for today, partly to mostly cloudy in northern and central sections of the two states with scattered showers and thunderstorms. In the south, more widely scattered showers and storms with a mix of clouds and sun, and highs today ranging from 80 in the far north to 95 in southwest Illinois. For tonight, in west central Illinois and in the south, partly cloudy. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy still with occasional showers and thunderstorms, and lows ranging from 65 in northeast Indiana to 74 in west central Illinois. For tomorrow, look for occasional showers and thunderstorms again under cloudy skies in northeast Illinois and in northern central Indiana, but elsewhere, including central Illinois, partly to mostly sunny, with again scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. The highs tomorrow ranging from 83 in northeast Illinois to 94 in southwest Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 17th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.